Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn with Robert Sapp and Chad Quinn on this 6th of October 2015 as we discuss week 4 NFL action for the next 60 minutes. As always, I'm joined by Robert Sapp and Chad Quinn. Fellas, how are we doing tonight?
All right. Doing well. Yeah, no complaints. No complaints. Yep. Glad to be here.
Yep, doing better than the 49ers and the Bills.
Shots fired early.
Yeah, early on. Here we go.
All right.
Typical Skins fan.
I will tone it down a little bit because the real deal is not doing very well. So, you know, tone it down.
Oh, yeah.
We begin, as always, with the game of the week. Denver edging out Minnesota 23-20. Very, very good game. I thought it was the best game that I saw all weekend. I was very impressed with Minnesota's performance on the road. Difficult place to play, going against a ferocious defense. And it was that Denver pass rush that turned out to be the difference, as Teddy Bridgewater was tripped, and Denver, of course, was able to run out the clock as Minnesota was driving for a potential game-time field goal, or maybe even a touchdown, but at worst, a game-time field goal possibly in the last couple of minutes. Minnesota drops to 2-2. Denver, six unbeatens, one of five teams that are at 4-0. What are our thoughts on this contest?
Somebody
talk.
Hold on a second. Yeah, I thought it was a great game. I thought I was really impressed by Minnesota. Like you said, that Denver defense is serious. So leading into the game, I just thought it was going to be ugly for Bridgewater. I figured if Denver could somehow contain Peterson, that it was going to be a long day. But I think, you know, this is a shot fired to myself with the 49ers. Like, as we see Kaepernick regressing at a, like, Benjamin Butt rate right now. It was good to see Bridgewater. I'm seeing his growth. You know, I definitely believe in him and his potential. I think, you know, coming into the season, people tried to anoint him too quickly. But I'm really liking the way Minnesota is set up for the future. On the other side of the ball, Denver is Denver. It reminds me of just like when you get like Jordan, when he got older, when he didn't have his athletics. You know, he had to really get focused on getting the jump shot. And Peyton, this is kind of funny because it's bittersweet because he's been known mostly for notoriously being a dictator, you know, running the show completely, you know, from all the crazy audibles and everything. So now you find him relying so much more on the defense. You know, I'm not calling him a game manager, but this is the stage in his career we're at now. He's going to go out there and throw one or two and nice pass, but for the most part, he's relying heavily on that defense and a couple of dinks and dunks with Sanders and whoever. But I think Denver is, you know, they've had a fair schedule. They're undefeated. It doesn't mean too much to me. Once that cold weather hits, I don't know. I still don't believe in Denver very much. I think he got a very strong defense. And what I'm most surprised about is they still haven't managed to find the running game, really. Like, it did get off, but it was still short yardage runs or whatever. So I think that's critical moving forward, even bigger than Peyton Manning. is they're going to need to really find that running game because they're going to need to rely on that. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think, like, everything that has been said, you know, is 100%. The game played out really, really well. Bridgewater definitely improved just from a mental aspect. That first game against the 49ers, like, he looked petrified out there. And so for him to stand up against that defense who was coming at him and hit him over and over again and really stand out and throw, I thought was very impressive. You know, Adrian Peterson, still Adrian Peterson. All he needs is one moment, and he can take it to the house, which is why you stick with the running game with him all the time. The Denver defense is serious, and I think, like, that's what I actually would say. Like, that's what they need from Peyton Manning most, is to actually be a game manager and stop throwing interceptions. Like, stop throwing interceptions. The biggest worry, and it's like I hear you say, like, find a running game. They can't block. they can't block. So it's like it's not even a possibility outside of Hillman making, like, a play like that, or somebody else breaking a tackle, you know, making a play, that they're going to be able to consistently run the ball, because they just don't have the skill set to block effectively. So for me, if I'm Denver, that's the huge concern. That's going to be the Achilles heel, because that's a championship defense. The biggest acquisition was Wade Phillips. Like, he's got them. I mean, he always does this with defenses. He's got them playing at championship level. So that's a championship defense. But that offensive line can't run block and can't protect Peyton Manning long enough. Especially long enough for what
Manning.
He needs now. If you look at the offense is a concern, and particularly that offensive line.
No question about it. I was impressed by, again, Bridgewater's performance. I echo that sentiment exactly, because he took a beating. I mean, he took an absolute beating and seemed to get better as the game went along. Was sacked 7 times, hit 11 times, and, you know, just like, that, again, that defense is so... Like, they have the best defense in the NFL because there are no weaknesses. Not only can they rush the passer, their secondary is deep and talented. Like, safeties, corners, I would take one of their secondary people, just one. Don't give me two, just one. You know, in our secondary, as a Redskin fan. But no, they like you said, Sapp, that is a championship defense. Again, I still don't think Peyton Manning is going to make it through the season. That's my personal opinion. So that's why I'm not drinking the Bronco juice long term, because I don't think that he will make it through the season. He's going to miss some games, or just injury is coming. Again, I'm not hoping it by any chance, but I just, like you said, the pass protection, the Dolphins line is as bad as it's been since he's been there by far. He doesn't get the ball off as quick as he used to,
yep.
It seems like, which, you know, comes with age. You know, we all slow down. You know, they will be in the mix. They certainly will be in the mix, because the AFC is just, outside of New England, is all over the place. So they'll be in the mix, and we'll get to the contenders and pretenders later on in the program. We'll talk about guy teams who for real and who are not for real. Couple of headlines in the NFL. Dez Bryant could return by week 7. Initially, he was scheduled to be out 10 to 12 weeks. We'll see how that, you know, I don't care if he does return. It doesn't matter, because they don't have a quarterback. So that's, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
Go Brandon Whedon, whoever, Matt Castle, whatever. Dean Blandino, the head of NFL officials, admits that the NFL blew the call last night with the Seattle-Detroit game that would have, that should have put the ball on the 1 yard line for the Detroit after a tremendous play by Cam Chancellor, stripping, knocking the ball out of Calvin Johnson's hands right before he's about to score. I don't understand with modern technology and with every all these so-called experts and Gruden in the booth and how that call is missed. I saw the post game and three former NFL players, all who have Super Bowl rings, two of them who are all-time greats in Ray Lewis and Steve Young, didn't even hardly know the rule, which my question would be, what are they paying you for as an analyst? And same to, the same to be John Gruden. Like, what are they paying you for? Mike Tirico should not know the rule, as he that's not his job to know that particular rule, because he's a color commentator and play-by-play. John Gruden, Trent Dilfer, Steve Young, Ray Lewis, no excuse. Like, ESPN, you look stupid. Like, not,
well,
I'll give them.
This is the only excuse I give them. They should not be called analysts. They're getting paid to be ex-football players talking about football. You know what I mean? I agree with you completely. Like, technically, that's the title they're getting. But look, these dudes probably get the new rule book each year to study, and they just throw it and put their coffee on it or whatever.
That rule has been around forever. That's not a new rule. That was another story behind it. That rule is not new. The dude came on ESPN last night, one of the officials that used to be an ex-official, said, you know, I've been around for 20, I was in the NFL for 26 years. This rule is not new. So it makes sense
But the issue with that is, because, like, my issue last night, right, and this speaks to what you're talking about, I was just surprised that when that situation happened, I didn't know the rule, but I was like, shouldn't they review this? Like, everything just happened so quickly, like it wasn't a big deal. And unfortunately, whether you have a rule that's 3 months old or 30 years old, if the scenario is not used a lot, people don't know it. So, yeah, this could have been way before their time, but if they haven't come across this, I mean, you know, there's so many football players we see all the time. Even with, who was it? Infamously, McNabb and the overtime rule. Like, these dudes play football. I'm not, like, trying to at all insult their intelligence, you know what I mean? But when it comes to certain, you know, the X's and O's of the game, yeah, I don't think they put the – well, it was clearly they don't put the same weight and gravity into studying the rule book and the letter of the law.
Here's the thing, because I'm going to take to even deeper level on this. Forget the analysts, forget the players, forget all of that. I was listening to Mike and Mike this morning, and Chris Carter was saying this, and I completely 100% agree. I'm not 100% convinced the ref, the back judge who was looking at it, knew the rule.
Right.
Wow.
And that's what it starts with, though.
That's literally like who, like he had clear. I mean, couldn't have been looking
right
at
there.
It any clear as day. Looked at it, saw it. It was easy to see he tapped the ball. Nobody was trying to say he did. Nobody on there was even like, none of the players were even like, no, I didn't tell you. No, none of that was going on. The judge, I'm here I'm in Atlanta, and so I'm here with my brother and his fiance, and she was like, so what, like, so the players didn't know the rule? And I was like, well, you know what, they should know the rule, but it actually isn't on them. It's on the refs to enforce the rules of the game.
Exactly.
You know,
him
saying he doesn't know the rule doesn't, like, the player doesn't bother me. It's like that official who was staring at it.
it's really hard for me to look at that and have seen it in real time because I didn't know the rule. I was like, oh, he knocked it out. It's a touch, Calvin Johnson. I was just like, how could Calvin Johnson fumble? And that, or what a great play by just both of those things going in my head. I definitely wasn't like, oh, he didn't tap that ball out. I was like, he tapped it out. It's just like, man, that's a touchback. How Calvin Johnson do that? And not Earl Thomas. Who made the play? Well, I can't remember his name.
Chancellor.
I was just like, I was going back and forth between, man, how Calvin Johnson fumbled that ball and Cam Chancellor made a great play. It was obvious to me he tapped the ball out. It didn't click to me like that. It wouldn't be a touch, still be a touchback, and they still didn't hit the ball. And so for the referee to clearly have saw that, and then for the excuse, I mean, on one instance, Blandino says it's a blown call and they blew the call. But the excuse that they given for the blown call is that it wasn't obvious to the ref that he was trying to tap the ball out. And that's the part I have a hard time believing. And that's what makes me wonder if that ref, talk about not knowing the rule, if that ref knew the rule at that time.
Yeah, no, I agree with that completely.
I agree with you. No, I agree with you because it was clear. It was clear that that was an intentional tap out, intentional bad ball.
Clear. He didn't even know the rule. He was blatantly trying to do that.
I'm tapping it out.
No one in the game or watching the game that had anything to do with the game knew the rule. Yep. No one there.
I'm not going to sit up and lie. I didn't know the rules. So I'm not going to sit up and lie and say, oh, they missed it at the time it happened. No. This wasn't a story until ESPN came back at the postgame and said it had the ref in the booth with Gruden and Tirico. So, but I'm not supposed to know all the rules. And we're not supposed to all know all the rules, even through 30 years of watching football. That's their job as officials, and even ex-players, but even more on the officials. Quick update, Houston, New York playoff game, 0-0, bottom of the first. So Yankees about to be up. So I love these wild card games where it's you win or go home, basically, until the divisional series start. Unfortunately for the DMV, no Orioles, and, of course, no Nationals. Sayonara, Matt Williams. That's not right. I shouldn't say man got fired, but he is a millionaire, so I don't feel that much sorry for you. One other headline before we get into the state of our teams. Phil been fired, not unexpectedly, as the head coach or former head coach of the Miami Dolphins. That you knew that was coming if they lost to the Jets. And so they 24-28 during his tenure, no playoff appearances, and finished this year as 1-3, and the last thing that came out of that was the fact that over the course of the weekend, apparently there was they were practicing and the scout team got into it with the first team offense. And Ryan Tannehill called out one of the scout team members and said, hey, what are you trying to, you're trying to win a trophy. Congratulations, you won a scout team trophy. And that just got things heated with the defensive players. Philippin, of course, had no control of it, over it. And, that was just, the icing on the cake. To me, I'm looking at this, I'm saying he should not have gotten the job in the first place, from the standpoint of, I understand he was considered to be the hot coordinator in 2011, but let's understand who he was dealing with. You have Mike McCarthy, big time offensive play caller and big time offensive person, and you have the best player in the world in Aaron Rodgers. So Philbin was not calling plays. So, and you look who he got hired over. He got hired over Todd Bowles and also Mike McCoy. Both Mike McCoy has a playoff win. Todd Bowles has done a good job so far up to this point with the New York Jets. But, hindsight is 2020, but I was not high on that hire to even going back to 2012 when they hired him after the after Green Bay had the 15-1 season.
Yeah. Also with that report came.
No, go ahead, because you talk about that part.
No, I'm saying it came out of the report that supposedly he was telling the defense to take it easy on Tannehill as well.
Like that was a scout team. That was a scout team defense. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That was the big issue there. But you know, no surprises here. Like you said, I told Rob after game one, the beginning of the season, because like I don't even think the record's the big thing. Honestly, I think it's how bad the defense is. You spent all of this money, and when they played the Redskins, we all talked about it leading into the game. But like, oh man, Cousins might not make it through the game. You know, it
right.
was like, it was going to be this massacre. And I talked to Rob after the game. I said, yeah, I know it's week one, but I just didn't sit right with me. They look soft. And typically with the NFL, the defense is the thing that starts off the season. The offense has to catch up. You know, so I was like, I don't know. So I watched game two and game three, and it's just like you can tell – well, I'll put it like this. Certain times when you look at a team and you don't know what's wrong, that means there's something deeper going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's something in this locker room. This is something that smells bad here. Because there's no one could make it make sense for this defense with all of these superstars to not even have a sack. You know, it just wasn't making going on. Why do they look this bad? And, like, you know, it would be different if it was one game in London, because we all know there's only one team that ever shows up when they do the London game. You just hope you pick the right one. But it's just been a common thread throughout the season thus far. It's just lack of effort, no energy. So when you hear this story, you take it wholeheartedly. I believe it. You know what I mean? I take it at face value. Like, clearly, there's some chemistry issues. There's a disconnect between offense and defense, and no one is playing for the other person. You know? So that's what my takeaway from it.
Yeah, I heard the stat that since Belichick was hired, the rest of the AFC has had 20 – AFC East has had 23 head coaches. instability. This is my division, so I know it very well. You know, we can look at Joe Philbin if we want, but it's the same. It's the same across the division. I think their ownership probably suffers from this a little bit more than the Jets are up there too, as well as us. We all there. That's why I think.
Right.
Ownership. Not being able to identify the right person for the job to be able to handle the ups and downs that happen throughout the year, and so yeah, Philbin, you know, Bowles was there. Bowles would probably be fired too. McCoy's, you know, it's the instability of the organization that breeds this, and so you would love to say like, oh, all they have to do is, like, go and hire a head coach, you know, go and hire this head coach, go and hire that head coach. But the organization itself has not shown that it can sustain success for any amount of time.
Yeah.
So yep. Very fair point. We're going to move on to the state of our teams.
Yeah, I'm going to start. You started here.
Yes. Go ahead.
So I'm
Let's
just going to jump. I'm that, jumping. That I'm deal. Jumping right in.
Let's do this.
So it's interesting. This has been an interesting year. So the Bills are 2-2, and I'm 2-2 in fantasy. Every week the Bills win, I lose in fantasy. Every week they lose, I win in fantasy. So I feel like this is God testing me, right? He's like, what? Like, this is where the rubber meets the road right now.
What's really important?
What do you value more? And right now, I want a fantasy championship because that's what's more likely to happen. That's what I want. I want to keep winning, and they can keep losing. So I like, and I'm not even
No, I'm not joking. I know I'm not joking.
I know you're not.
So,
that's what
yeah, I know. No, I'm just like, it's not going to say like, and I'm half. No, no, I'm very, I'm
to
serious.
To my audience, he's not joking. He's that serious.
Yeah, no, 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 I'm saying I'm serious. So here's my deal. One is, so I'm out. I'm going to go back to my passive rooting for a team. I was cautiously optimistic, but now I'll go back to the default setting that I usually have. And the main reason was this, the press conference after that game. Chad knows. I've been saying the Bills are undisciplined since day one, since the first game. I've been going, we have to clean up penalties. We have to clean it up. We're not going to be able to compete with the high level teams if we're killing ourselves like that. Like that's not there. So to hear Rex Ryan after the game, like get defensive and like, you know, not acknowledge and just like say, no, I'm proud of the way this is. I was just like, oh, this is the same. This is the exact same Rex from New York. He didn't learn anything. There's no growth that's happened. This is the same guy. So I already know how this story's going to end. I don't even have to, you know, read the book. I know how this is going to end. There needed to be some significant development in his personality, how he coached for me to like feel like, oh, could have a potential different ending. You know, it's your friend, it's your family member who gets into that bad relationship cycle. And you know how it's going to end, but you can't do anything. Yeah. This guy just, you know, that's crazy that happened. So I'm just going to have to go through this. You know, we're talented enough to win a lot of our games, not talented enough to do anything with it. So 8-8, 9-7, maybe, you know. But, like, again, my thing, the thing that is so disheartening for me is, when you don't acknowledge the reality of what is going on. Like, there's no way your team can grow. There's no way. If the person in charge refuses to acknowledge what is happening, then there's no way. And so he could pay all the lip service. I knew he would talk with the general manager and the owner, and they would be like, Rex, what is wrong with you? You can't just say, hey, 17 penalties, no big deal. Like, that's insane. You can't get upset at the just go out there and pay attention. So I knew that was coming, but I was waiting on either side to see if it was same old Rex or if this might actually ever. And so that was like the tip, and okay, this is the exact same person, no change, anything like that. And then on the field, so I mean, like, that is on the field. That's awesome. I'm done after this. The thing that has been and I'm being super analytical. This is not like crushing my team from just like I'm angry with it. Like, this is analytically like looking at them, what's going on.
No, you're crushing it. No, that's not making mistakes.
Yeah, but still, I'm being analytical about it. The other thing that, you know, Rex is supposed, like, the other thing that I look at and see that, oh, this is the same old Rex, and this is kind of like how it's going to go, is like Rex is coaching confidence. He's coaching emotion. And that's what he hopes gets his scheme over, because I watch his blitz scheme over and over again, and again, against less experienced quarterbacks, it'll work fairly okay. Against the veterans, we saw what Brady did, and I watched Manning call out all of his blitzes. I watched him. That Jennings play was a thing of beauty. Rex showed his hand immediately. Manning checked out of it. Eli checked out of it and got it right over to the man where it was supposed to go. It was pitch and catch, and it was beautiful. And so like just in terms of like something that like where we're supposed to hold our hat on, the aggressiveness of a Rex defense, I'm seeing that that's actually more of a liability than it is a strength. And so that's also where I'm just like, this is 8-8. Like, this has 8-8 written all over it.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Anyway,
right.
I'm done.
Yeah. Woo!
I don't know if you want to go through, you might provide more balance because you have more positivity.
I feel pressure. I can't follow. How can I follow that?
Yeah.
How can I follow that? All right, so.
Gotta be real. Gotta be real.
No, you got to. No, I hope you feel better because that was like therapy. I hope you feel better on that.
Yeah, I had to get it off my chest.
I hope you feel better. So, a feel good win for the Redskins because it had the makings of what we have been this season. Jump on a team outside of the Giant game, get a quick lead, bad in the red zone. Should be up by, 20 points, but we're in a situation where it's like 10-3 as Cody Alsmith has just destroyed this ball to go up 1-0 Houston. He killed that. But I had seen this story before. Eagles, hit a couple deep passes to guys who should never get behind any secondary. In terms of Matthews and Miles Austin, when they're running past your secondary, that's a problem. So when Kirk Cousins comes down and goes 15 plays, 90 yards, I had to take my head off. Captain Kirk. For one Sunday, he was Captain Kirk. It's Captain Kirk. So I don't believe in Kirk Cousins. I know he's a stopgap towards whatever next quarterback we're going to draft, whatever. So he's a great backup. But for one Sunday, he was Captain Kirk. And I felt good about the team because 99.999999 times we lose that football game, which is a reflection of where the Eagles are at right now, which is not good. So it was a feel good win. I'm not going crazy. We're 2-2, tied for the division lead. Division's wide open. Who knows what's going to happen? I do like what some of the Redskins were saying on Monday about, hey, we're not worrying about the past. It's about today. It's about next week. And I love to hear that. Like, don't be consumed by, the curse of Robert Griffin III or the curse of whatever, Brad Johnson, whoever. So I did like to hear that, even though I'm not a Jay Gruden fan, I'm not a Daniel Snyder fan. It was good, but again, for 60 minutes, it was all about Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. It was. Good for you guys. I mean, like you said, I'm not a big Kirk Cousins fan, but I believe in the Redskins in this division of yours. It's just crazy. I like the Giants. They're ultimately coming out of the top. But anyway, I really want to just say ditto to what Rob said, but it's different. I thought it was funny that you started by talking about fantasy as it relates to your team because this is the thing that pissed me off about just the last game. Hats off to the 49er defense. They brought it.
Absolutely.
They brought it, and I could not have been more disgusted that they brought it watching that game because of my FanDuel, fantasy.
So
I, like, we don't get paid.
All systems go against the 49ers.
All Aaron Rodgers. Every green at Montgomery, I was picking out any receiver I could.
Sterling Sharp.
We don't get paid for moral victories. You know what I mean? You want to talk about some analytics? I'll give you some psychoanalytics. I'm watching this game. I swear to you not. I said, Bolden, he's just going to stop running. He's going to stop running. I really thought the receivers really might literally quit on the field after a while because I don't know how they do it. I don't know how you continue to run routes knowing you're not getting the ball. It's like as soon as you turn around, you see your quarterback in some type of melee that looks like a freaking Warner Brothers cartoon running for his dear life. And they showed Bolden so many times. He kept doing a cutback to Bolden, cursing and frustrated. Never once did he go over to Kaepernick like, man, I'm mad. We're both
he would have killed him.
He would have killed him. I mean, wow. Like, Aaron Rodgers is a nice guy, man, because, like, even when they asked him about Kaepernick, like, he's like, he's definitely got some skill. I mean, I'm watching this game, and it was so frustrating because, like I said, from a fantasy thing standpoint, I wanted us to get crushed. I knew we weren't going to win the game, so let's go all out. But then I'm watching the game. I said, oh, well, hold up. The defense is holding up. If we can just get a first down, if we can just get one first down, maybe. I mean, the crowd's booing. The thing that threw me off, this is where
the crowd, it was like Green Bay West. First of all, you want to talk about the crowd, it was Green Bay West.
Yeah. No, it was brutal. It was like this, like, okay, there has to be a point because Kaepernick, quote-unquote, hasn't really proven himself in a while, right? He has to get benched in that game. And if nothing more, see, so conversely of what Miami coach did during practice, quarterback's ego, no. In the game, Kaepernick was a shell of himself. Like, mentally, he just needs to sit down the rest of this game. It should have taken him out in the Arizona game. You know what I mean? But it's like, look, he's getting beat up out here, physically and mentally. Game's over. We got to try something else. Now, I know when you do those type of moves, there's controversy and all that. But let's be clear. There's been controversy. I mean, like, do you start Kaepernick this week? Me and Rob played a FanDuel, and there's thousands of teams and positions. I guarantee you there's no one that is starting Kaepernick in the whole entire universe for fantasy football. Like, no one. Unless it's on accident or his mom is playing fantasy. You know what I mean? No one.
I don't think his mom would start him. I don't think his mom would start him.
So, this team, oh my goodness. Like, I have images of, like, the Replacements, Bad News Bears, the Mighty Ducks. This is yet again a Walt Disney script. Walt Disney script in the making. You got this car salesman of a coach with a bunch of Neanderthals and one really good player.
Oh,
and it's
painful to watch. It's like really painful to watch where there's nothing good. The only good thing, this is how painful it is. Like, at least if I said, well, Vernon Davis is going off, so at least he's giving me something. Or, Bolden is doing this. Or Torrey Smith was a good acquisition. There's nothing good. Only thing I do, and this is literally what I did this week, I started the Giants defense. I look, when I'm making my teams, because it's a little confusing at times, the first thing I do to get peace is say, who's playing the 49ers? This is exactly, and I'm not even joking, this is exactly what I said.
You wonder why I started Green Bay's defense.
Yeah, I said, oh, yeah, exactly.
That wasn't by design.
No, that was, yeah. But, like, that's what I'm saying. The Giants, okay, the 49ers on the road. Okay, Giants time. Got to start the Giants defense. But knowing my 49ers, they may even play decently somehow. I don't believe it, but there might be something decent. So I'm kind of like Rob, where I just want to focus on fantasy. I'm so disgusted because I was in the store the other day, and they actually had a really nice 49ers hat. Really nice. I can't buy that. I'm not going to wear that right now. And it's not like I'm a front runner. I'm just going to wear my old dirty hats right now, because that's how I feel about them, old and dirty. I'm not buying any new 49ers or paraphernalia. I don't want to talk about them. You know, I was sitting here in my father-in-law's house last week, and everyone was like, oh, Chad, are you mad? Because we kept flipping back and forth from the red zone, although they were showing our game. I said, what's the matter? You don't want to see a game? Because no one was watching it. No one really cared. But I didn't care. I actually got mad when he left it on the channel too long. Like, can you please go back to the red zone? Why are we sitting here? You know,
oh,
and it's so discouraging. Mm-hmm. It's like, once again, I need help. I need something, because I can't go through this season and transition into being a Knicks fan. It's just too much mentally for me to take in. But it is a lot, man, because I was like, when you go into a situation knowing you're going to lose, like knowing you're going to lose. I don't like 8-8. I would love 8-8. And I know there's nothing. I get why Rob said it, because it's true. But honestly, we are the worst team in the league. I believe that. I really believe that.
I have to think about that one.
Okay. Jacksonville, right? Who are you going to say worse than us?
Jacksonville is definitely Jacksonville is definitely right there.
Because this is what I'm saying. Any team that you would say worse than us, right? As far as, I'm not talking about from top to bottom worse. I'm talking about from where they could possibly be going. At least I still think Bortles can be a starting quarterback. I have no idea what Kaepernick is. I don't. I've never been so confused about one player in my life, and he just happens to be your quarterback. That's scary. That's scary.
That's
like you said,
point.
You know Cousins is a staff kid. You get that. You get what Cousins is. Whether you love
right.
him or not, at least you get it. I don't
know
what Kaepernick is.
No, yeah, you don't. You don't.
I don't know what our coach is. I'm like, he should be selling pizza somewhere. I don't know.
The flip side is that is Michigan is ranked like number 18 now after being a disaster last year. Like Harbaugh's beating Michigan is
yeah.
Harbaugh's
oh, well, we knew. Well, everyone saw this coming. Like, this is such a predictable storyline.
Oh, yeah.
Who didn't see this coming? That's why everybody retired. They're like, tell them I don't worry about concussions or something. Whatever, I'm out of here. People leaving at 23, they're just jumping right off the boat because we're about to hit the Titanic. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, that's
whatever. Oh, goodness. A couple other notable results. That's why we had to do the state of our teams. It is like group therapy. St. Louis.
We might have to cut this. I'm interrupting. We might have to cut this segment. This might get depressing after two more weeks of this. I do have a suggestion of a new segment that I would love to do.
You text me.
We need a State of the Eagles. State of the Eagles.
Oh, what
every
yeah.
every 2 weeks. And like this is the is like I like is this is what I want to know. Like I want to really ask people to really think about this, because I know it sounds crazy on the front end, but let's think about the things that he's done. Did Chip Kelly, does he want to get fired? Like, is that like was that his goal at the beginning? Does he want to go back to college? Because we tried to figure. Anyways, all right. So that's just the question. I'll let you update everything. I just want to let that sink in.
You might listen. That's a very legitimate question. At this point, one other result I want to get to of note: St. Louis 24, Arizona 22. I told y'all, and again, I'm not a gambling man, but I said on my NFL, not y'all in particular, but my audience, my Sunday audience, I said, look, Arizona, St. Louis will cover. I told y'all that. It's a divisional game. St. Louis plays everybody tough in that division, tough. They will cover. The point spread was 7. Not only do they cover, they win the game outright over the Arizona Cardinals. Now everybody's down on Arizona. I'm like, calm down. St. Louis plays everybody tough. They beat Seattle. They're that talented defensively. So I'm not going to overreact
from an Arizona standpoint to them losing to a very talented defense from St. Louis and the coming out party for one Ty Gurley. That was the other game of note that I wanted to get to. And the last thing, top five teams. If you were to rate the top five teams in the league right now, give me you guys top five teams.
Are we going right now?
Yes.
Okay, I had Green Bay, New England, Atlanta. No, I had somebody right before. Cincinnati, Atlanta, and Carolina as my top five.
All right. Set.
Yeah, Green Bay, New England, Arizona. Atlanta really impressed me. I will say that. Atlanta really impressed me.
Yeah.
So I would say Atlanta and then Cincinnati.
Yeah, and I will say that the thing about Cincinnati, depending on what they do this week against Seattle while they're at home, they can easily move to number three. It's still New England and Green Bay to lose.
Yeah.
And we all know, it's hard to believe in Cincinnati only because we know what they give us regular season.
Right.
But they've been very impressive.
Yep.
Very impressive.
Yep.
And Atlanta's
we're doing top five right now.
Top five, yeah. We agree on that, yeah.
I have Green Bay, New England, Arizona, Cincinnati, and Atlanta as fifth. I think right now you could split it in terms of the MVP, just split it between Rodgers and Brady, like between those two. If I had an MVP vote, just split it. This, and I'm not even big on splitting MVPs, but I think like both of them are playing at just in a category of them of their own right now. So that's
I'm gonna throw a monkey wrench in there on the MVP.
Devontae
Freeman. No. Oh, that's a good one. That is good. I should have said. But I'm going to – Devontae Freeman. I am in awe of what he's doing for that Falcons running game.
Yeah.
I never saw this coming. I never saw this coming. Like you saw flashes with him, and it was just like, oh, he's nice. He back to back three touchdown games. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. I mean, that just does since LaDainian Tomlinson did it. I think in 2006, that year, I think he was MVP. Yeah.
Oh wow.
So it does happen. You saw flashes last year because he would be that one. Big player guy, fancy guy last year.
Yeah.
But you couldn't start him consistently.
Oh, no, you couldn't even keep him consistently. You would drop him, pick him
So, the offense is scary.
It is. Julio's been that good for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Ryan's been as good as he's been for two, three years right now. He's the thing that's taking their offense to a new level and doing the exact same thing that DeMarco Murray provided that Cowboys defense last year. It's pretty impressive what he's doing. That's my sneaky one now.
He definitely deserves serious consideration in the top three, top four.
Well, Julio's a great one, too. Julio's the MVP. I bet they took the vote on the team. Julio would be the MVP of the team.
Yes.
Without question.
Oh, yeah.
Another guy defensively who stood out to me from a defensive standpoint, because I don't want to ignore the defense in the offensive league, Josh Norman from Carolina. I think
at
the cornerback position right now, he's playing the best football in the league right now. He's been this good for I think the past 2 years. He just Carolina, not a big market. Cam Newton gets the attention. This dude is a legit shut down cornerback, and he's physical. He can match up with your big receivers. Like, he made some plays in that Tampa game against Mike Evans and Vince Jackson like that, which is – that just blew me away. Like, those guys, those they have two big-time receivers on their team, and he just made it look easy. And, that again, that guy has played – like, if I'm like a defensive player of the year, he would be my guy right now through the first quarter of the season. Like, so he's definitely – and keep in mind, Keekly has been out for, like, the last – since opening, I think, opening day. So who he is, and he's their best defensive player, one of the best linebackers in the league. So his performance.
Carolina's legit, man.
I'm. You know what? It's funny that you mentioned them. I'm not. I like their defense. Cam is somewhat underrated a little bit. I still got to see more.
You know why Cam is underrated? This is so funny. I've never seen anyone like Cam. Because he's underrated because he talks too much about himself.
Yes, yes.
This is why no one likes him. Like, dude is so arrogant and overrated.
He's so arrogant.
No, that everyone's like, that's good. If anybody else is doing what he was doing right now, anybody else, you'd be hearing the accolades left and right, but no one
with
likes
him. With no offensive talent. With no offensive
talent.
Right.
At all. No running back, no wide receivers. He's just making it happen out there. But before we can say anything about him, he already doing Superman and talking about being the best. So you know what? Never mind. I don't have anything to say.
No, you can't.
It's hilarious. Can't.
I've never seen, like, so few teammates come over to somebody after a celebration. Like, literally nobody even bothers. Like, he's got it. He's going to do his entire dance and blah, blah, blah. All right, everybody, let's go. Cam scored a touchdown. We know.
The irony about that, Rob, is I think he would enjoy less if they did join. It's like, what are you guys doing? No, that's not. This was for me. This was for me.
Yeah.
So not a big weekend next week of games. As I look here, some games that to look forward to: Seattle at Cincinnati, St. Louis at Green Bay, Denver at Oakland, Pittsburgh at San Diego, Indy and Houston. If Luck will Luck play? Who's going to be Houston's quarterback? They might call one of us. You never know, because the way their quarterback situation is going at Houston.
So not a
good weekend, not a big time weekend of football, but I'm fine with it because I will sacrifice September and October for a big November December push. I'm fine with the scheduling, not blockbuster matchups. New England Dallas would have been a blockbuster matchup with the injuries. Had not been for the injuries.
I guess
I don't know what they anticipated as far as San Francisco and the Giants being a Sunday night game. I don't know what was the thought process behind
that. Now that makes no sense. Like that never made sense. Like, at least the Colts, you can say no one knew that they were going to be bad.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Injuries.
Yeah, and the injuries. But even before the injury, they didn't look good. You know what I mean? No one anticipated that. But yeah, that Giants 49ers, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But yeah, whatever. Start, like I said, people, if you want some fantasy advice, start the Giants defense. Just trust me. Please.
No, trust him. Yes, trust him. Start the Giants defense, guys. Yeah, that offense is it's bad when the announcers are calling for Blaine Gabbert, saying that he's been developing in practice. I'm like, really, Blaine Gabbert? Is this the same
Blaine
Gabbert?
Do you understand? I want to commend every analyst that has discussed the state of the 49ers and Colin Kaepernick the last couple of weeks, because I've literally listened and watched them try not to call him stupid. And I'm not calling the man stupid. But they really have tried not to talk about his IQ. They said everything else but it. But it's like, let's not insult the guy that way. We'll just say he's regressed and looks like a rookie again, and he gets confused with defense. But, yeah. So, take from that what you will. But, like, man, these guys are really some worse than because they have found a way to talk about it. Well, I've told you guys for years now, even when he was on good, I always, like, on Madden, it'd be 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 30. Like, where the hell is that 30 coming from? Oh, football IQ. Yeah. I wonder if I'm ever going to need that. Or can I just beat up one team? And then one day, and that day turned into a couple of seasons. So here we are. I'm sorry to go back to you. Yeah, I can't do this State of the 49ers next week. I just, it's not good for my.
Well, that's why, I mean, the show is is bi-weekly, so next week you get a week off. You get a bye week, okay? You get a bye week to recuperate and then get mentally prepared for the following week. That's all. You get a bye week.
Yeah.
You know,
no, we're going to do State. Next week we're going to do State of – you can do State of
the Eagles.
All you do. Next we're going to do State of the Eagles.
Now, we'll also say this, too. I'm all for the Eagles. I say let's closely monitor the Seattle Seahawks thing too, man.
Oh yeah.
We didn't talk about that today, but that's
yes.
They're very interesting. How bad they look offensively and that line. I mean, Russell's getting hit.
The line. I'll give him a pass from a standpoint, a slight pass, not a full pass, but a slight pass because. That possibly could be a Hall of Fame running back that he didn't have. He's that important to that team. But that line, like Russell Wilson would not last the season with the hits that you – I mean, Detroit was lighting him up. He got sacked 6 times, hit on a number of other occasions. And again, to my Sunday audience, I called that game. I said, take Detroit with the points. It was 10.5. I said, take the points with Detroit not winning, but with the point that line was too big considering Seattle's offense. So I – Pat myself
and
on the back
real
for that
quick
one.
To your point about
go ahead. I'm jumping right in after.
Okay. I'm not at all disagreeing with you, but what I'm trying to say is that's part of the state of the concern. I don't know what's up with Marshawn Lynch.
I do. That line is horrible.
Oh yeah. So he's just like, you know what, I'm tired of I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. It's just an interest. Like I told Rye when talked last week, I've never, ever heard of a player not showing up and no one knew that he wasn't playing. Like, yeah, no one's seen him yet. Like, the game is starting, and this is what the sideline reporters are talking about. No one has seen Marshawn Lynch yet. So that was really peculiar for me.
That and
He was in the back chilling. Wait, really quickly, he was in the back chilling. I know as a Marshawn Lynch owner, I know this is why I love this is the part where I love fantasy because they not only do you know about your teams and everything else, but you know you follow and you read. So I've been reading the Seattle Times. You know I've been reading about their whole situation, all that. And so it's interesting that we can so easily point out Denver's struggles. With the offensive line. But then we go to Seattle, we're like, oh, da-da-da-da. Marshawn Lynch and C.J. Anderson have exactly the same fantasy points. Like, that's wow. How bad the offensive line has been for Seattle in terms of blocking for the running game and then protecting Russell Wilson. And you will notice in that game, you had started to see the regression. Talk about regression with Kaepernick. You had started to see the regression a little bit with Russell Wilson, but that was on full display last night, where he was just running around. He was just running around with no play in mind, and that's the difference between what he, you know, that obviously that's the difference between last year and this year.
I disagree with you from that standpoint, from talking about regression. Bad offensive line, no Marshawn Lynch, average receivers, and a Jimmy Graham that clearly has not been implemented correctly into the offense. So he was 20 or 26. So I think I don't see regression.
All of that equals. No. See, here's why. Oh, sorry.
So here, because I agree with you. I agree with that statement. I hate when people are like, oh, the player is regressing when there are so many factors around them. Because of those lack of deficiencies, particularly the offensive line, I think that forces quarterbacks to regress. They get into bad habits. I don't trust that this offensive line can hold it, so I'm going to run out more and quicker than I normally would. So that's just a natural regression of mechanics because the offensive line is so poor. What I was saying about moving around with no play in mind, you saw that with the fumbles, with the turnover of the ball.
Yes.
Like that's the regression I'm also talking about. When he's out moving outside of the pocket, he's not moving outside with purpose. He's moving outside because he's scared of the rush. And so he's moving before, then looking to see if anybody's open. All of those things that you said, average receivers, not using Graham purposely, nobody's open. So let me now, instead of running out of bounds, you know, I don't have the confidence that I can then just hand the ball back off and we'll get a chunk of yards, or that receivers will suddenly break open. Let me try to do more. And then in doing more, he gets killed, gets sacks, and fumble the ball. So, anyways, I say all that to say it's interesting we can identify that with Denver, but the exact same thing is going on with Seattle offensively. Championship defense. Offense and that offensive line in particular is a problem that is not going away. And they don't play Arizona. Like, talk about teams. They don't play Arizona till week – it's after their bye. Arizona has week 9 bye. So I think it's like week 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that, and then 17, the last week of the season. So
honestly – you know,
they're going to get tested late in the season against some ferocious pass rushers.
That's the thing, yeah. That's the thing, that the defenses they got to face. And if somehow the 49ers can play defense like they played against Green Bay, no one's going to score. We're going to lose 6-0 against Seattle twice. You know what I'm saying? Because both offenses look horrible. I agree with both of your sentiments completely. I don't know how they rectify that situation. I think this is going to be one of the first seasons where I just don't think a strong defense will be representing either side, either conference. You know, I think Green Bay has a decent defense. You know what I mean?
I think Green Bay's defense is very good. They have a pass rush. They can rotate their linebackers. I think it's very good. It's not great, but it's very, like, it complements that offense very well.
They can
rush the passer. They can rush the passer, which is probably the most important part of the
thing. I think I still need to see more. I mean, get 6 sacks against the 49ers. It did, you know, that those numbers are kind of skewed for me. Like, I want to see them go up against, and, you know, they play Seattle. You know what I mean? So, like, two of the teams they played have no offense right now. So, I'm not saying it's a mediocre defense. I said it's an average defense. And just we're talking about the first quarter. The way I see the first quarter, you look at the strongest teams on both sides, New England doesn't really have a defense. You know what I mean? It's just
I think
this could be definitely a Super Bowl where this is great for fans and money, where it could be a high-scoring Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, this is just going to be an offensive war because the strongest defenses have horrible offenses right now.
Here's the key that nobody – well, not enough people are talking about, in my opinion. This is the year the offensive line. The most successful teams are the ones who have the stable offensive line.
Yes, absolutely.
I think there's two parts of that. Obviously, training, blah, 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 everything like stuff that we've talked about. But the other thing is because the NFL is throwing flags as soon as you touch a wide receiver, it's not even worth it anymore. So what do you have to do? You have to kill the man with the ball. You have to get to the quarterback. That's just it. That's just how it has to be. You have to get to the quarterback. And if you look at it, look at how many quarterbacks are. I can't count how many times I hear, man, that offensive line is bad. Man, that quarterback is getting hit a lot. Teams are coming after the quarterback. And the offensive line play across the league is poor.
It's hard.
That,
this is bad. Yeah. I've never seen such teams with bad offensive lines, even teams who have excellent skill position players. I've just never seen it. I never had, like, it's unbelievable how many bad offensive lines there are in the NFL today. And it's like, it's just, you know, it's, there've been, I mean, there recently in the last couple of weeks, articles have been written about it. I've seen for the first time, but
it's starting to churn because some people are talking about it, but it's just like, all think about all the teams who were undefeated, all the teams that we named in our top five. Those quarterbacks are not getting lit up.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, all
well,
of
with the exception of
Denver. No, exception of Denver and Carolina.
Well, Denver's not in my top five, though.
Denver wasn't in the top five.
They're undefeated, though.
They're undefeated. Yeah, I understand. That championship defense. But, yes, no, I 100%.
Yeah, no, really, really good point. Yeah, I agree.
So, these offensive lines are as bad as they've been, and that's getting back to the Philly situation. That is one of the major issues with Philadelphia. Like, that offensive line, I mean, I know the Redskins have a decent pass rush, but not five sacks.
I don't even want to talk with the offensive line whenever they as it relates to Philly. That's giving them a pass.
No, it's not Philly, giving them a pass. Chip Kelly, that's his doing. I mean, that's not giving them a pass. That's his.
No,
doing.
What I'm saying is I don't want them to be grouped with, yeah, we got offensive line problems too. That's why we're bad. No, Philly, no. Sorry.
That's part of the reason why they're bad. That's not the major reason.
No,
listen.
We all watch Michael Smith and Jermell, and they had the little doing too much segment. So this is the funny thing, and I'll leave it, you know, on this note as far as, you know, Chip Kelly. Talking to Ron, you know, Ron, my brother-in-law, would say the craziest thing. And I was going in on Chip Kelly the other day about how bad he is. He said, "You're crazy." I said, "Ron, he's not proving anything. Let this have been anybody else." He's like, "I'll take him over 70% of the coaches in the NFL." So this is his doing too much statement right here. He said, "I'll take him over 70% of the coaches in the NFL." He said, all he did, like, he just doesn't know how to pick personnel. But besides that, I really can't get past it besides that. Because, like, this is why it's so fun for me. You handpick this whole team.
Yep.
You handpick that line. You got rid of everybody. You got a north and south runner to run east and west. It's like, did you really do all of this? Go ahead.
This is what I love. I was looking, again, like, one of my favorite things to do now is to go to the local papers and read what they're saying about it. And, like, literally, like, it's like, does Chip Kelly actually believe the words that are coming out of his mouth right now? Like, to hear him talk about how it's not his system. We just need to act like it's not like, no, the plays are great. Everything I'm doing is great.
Yeah.
These players are the ones who are the problem. But here's the problem with that, Chip. You pick these guys.
Yeah, it's like that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't hide.
You can't hide from this. You got nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to run. Like, no. This is all you, Chief. This is all you. Like, there's no.
But the funny thing is, he's still, if you ask me, outside of Philly, is not catching enough heat. Like, I'm hearing other fans from watching the games, they're like, "Oh, Murray looks horrible." Bradford, come on, he's not the man. Who picked these people?
Yep.
While Foles goes ahead and scores a winning touchdown against Arizona. And not saying I'm the biggest Foles fan at all either. But I'm like, you did all of this, sir. Like, honestly, what do you call it? Mike Dick has said it. Look, bring Murray in for third down and short yardage. Get over your ego. Matthew and Sproles, they fit your spread offense. That's your system. Okay? Let Murray know, hey, man, thank me later, man. You get paid a lot of money because you're barely going to get touched this season. We're not using you.
Yeah.
Don't put Murray in this mess.
Here's why. and I'm definitely not trying to take Chip off the hook, but getting to other free agents who are not being successful around the league, or players who were traded, new faces, new places, I don't want to hear about Ndamukong Suh freelancing. He gets double-teamed on every play. So I don't know what freelancing means. He's getting double and triple-teamed on every play. Okay. I don't want to hear that Jimmy Graham can't block. Jimmy Graham has never blocked in his life. He's a pass-catching tight end extraordinaire. So when you, like, these free agents or guys who you traded for, I don't want to hear about their flaws if they're not producing at a high level. You knew what you were getting when you signed them or traded for them. Like, this is not, it's not new information. Like, you knew DeMarco Murray is a north-south runner. He's not east and west.
There you go. And that's the point. It's the in all three of those cases, you got guys who are really good at one thing. And then great at one thing, great at what they did. And then you bring them into your system and ask them to do something completely different and look confused when they're struggling.
Right. Well, real quick caveat
to what both of y'all said, and really small. I wouldn't necessarily put Sue in this example yet because they got bigger issues going on in that locker room and that organization. So I don't know if we've really seen, quote-unquote, the real Sue in a Miami Dolphins uniform yet.
That's my only thing
with him.
He's not – it's not his fault. Like, this dude, when I see Miami, he gets double, triple team every play. He's taking up 2 to 3 blockers, and he's getting caught freelancing. I'm like, how is he freelancing? What are you talking about? He's taking up 2 or 3 blockers. The difference is you don't have the pass rusher Wake not getting to the quarterback. So if you got one guy,
but there's obviously
with
the Miami situation, there's obviously a defense that Sue wants them to play that they're not playing. He obviously feels like there is a way in which he could be better used that they're not doing. And I think, like, that goes into the point. It's like, you pay me all this money, you bring me in here, and for whatever reason, you're not letting me do, or I'm not being put in a position to do what I do best.
Right.
Right. It's just like, it's the same thing we talk about. Like, the biggest problem, you know, we started a whole conversation tonight with talking about the missed call with the Seattle-Detroit game. And, you know, you look at free agency in professional sports, and we always talk about the players. The players take the brunt for everything. They just do. And it's like, you never hear refs get to a podium and say, listen, I just blew it. It was wrong. We never even know who the ref is for the most part, half the time. You know what I mean? Coaches to the level, and they don't have the level of scrutiny that these players do. I want Chip Kelly to stand in front of everybody and say, listen, man, it was my ego. That whole thing I was saying about having high character players, and this whole character thing, I hate to harp on it. The only reason it came up to me is because I saw Riley Cooper score last week. And I was like, how in the world did everyone buy that when you kept Riley Cooper? He's the only receiver, coincidentally, that you kept. And it's like, when you're selling people on this whole character thing, that's what gets me about coaches. It's the arrogance. It's just the arrogance. You know what I mean? Like, at least with Rex Ryan, he's freaking delusional at this point. I think New York really messed to serve people up, and, you know, he just selling us. He don't even know he got a decent team. He's so used to having a terrible team, he's just throwing lines at us at this point and not really putting into work and the effort. But
no,
like,
no. Don't take it. No. Don't do that. Don't take him off the hook.
I'm not taking him off the hook. But I told you before, I thought that he was really a great defensive coach. I was never a big Rex fan as far as a head coach.
Yeah.
Never.
And I'm here to tell you, it's not even looking like that is his strength.
Well, no, but this is the problem. It goes back to what you're saying as far as you know, the whole analogy you made with Russell Wilson and when these deficiencies come up. He's being spread too far, which is why he's not putting in the detail on his defense. If all Rex had to
that.
Do is defense,
it was defense yes.
Oh,
yeah,
he'd
I
be
agree,
a monster.
Yeah. Yes,
he'd be a monster.
I agree with
you
that.
Can't tell me
you I agree
don't
with
that. But he's trying to do something that he's not built to do. And in New York, it was easier, although it was a bigger, a bigger stage, but it was easier because they like, he doesn't have the talent offensively. So all he does is have a good defense. This right here is really exposing him that he's just not a head coach. That's the difference I'm saying. You know, we're
yeah.
finally saying, like,
I mean,
no,
he's kind of like Rob mentioned the name, and you talking about the Denver's defense earlier about Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips, great defensive guy, but never was a head coach.
Right. Now, Rob, I will argue that his old brother over there, Rob, he was given too much credit as a defensive guru, whereas I'm like, he all right. You know what I mean? He's not his dad. He's not Rex. You know, he's got a Ryan name, and he did some good things, but he's not on their level. Or whatever. But anyway, going back to Chip Kelly real quick, it's just the arrogance. Like, Rob, that's what's so funny about this box he put himself in, is because you control everything, all you're doing is each week deciding which part of you you're going to blame. You know what I mean? But the only thing that you have is that you love your system so much, you'd rather blame GM Chip Kelly. You know what I mean? But won't even really blame him either. Just saying, the players I picked are not doing what I picked them to do. And they need to get chemistry. These players need
these
to get
are the
chemistry.
Guys, yep. These are the guys who I signed. These are not the same guys. During tour days and July scout OCA. I don't recognize these guys.
Yo, I'm telling you, man, like, when you did this character thing and you blatantly – you are the only person that made this whole story about Deshaun Jackson being a gang banger. You.
Yes.
This is where the story came from.
Yep.
Never had any off-the-field, not one off-the-field incident. How dare you? Fire me like a man. Tell me I'm not performing good. But do not insult my character like that. So you did that. And I'm not going to go through the whole gambit of what he's done. But then on the flip side, as you get mad about that, then you get LeSean McCoy still acting like a ninja. So you're like, okay, I get it. He's not a high character guy. But then you cut Tebow, and I'm like, come on, man. If nothing else, let him be this team bus and be the mascot. Tebow had a great preseason. He had a great preseason in every aspect of, for his expectations. Shoot, I told y'all this 3 weeks when y'all got on the plane. I would love Tebow for the 49ers. I promise you with everything in my soul, he can start for the 49ers this weekend. And I'll go out and buy me a Tebow jersey tomorrow. I promise you somehow they picked him up. And Rufus, because at the end of the day, there's certain things in life, you just got to call on God. And with Kaepernick, I don't know what to do but pray. And I feel like if Tebow was in that locker room with him, maybe somehow something right would happen. But, Rex, I mean, like Chip, like I said, it's the whole character thing. Like, no, man, I'd rather him come out and listen, audience, please don't take this the wrong way. If he came out Sunday, say, you know what, man?
I'm a racist.
I need to go to racist training. I'm going to be away for a couple of weeks. You know what I'm saying? I'm not calling him a racist. But if he came out there and said it, I would respect him. He said, I'm not, matter of fact, I don't think I'm racist. I don't know. I never dealt with it. I think I might be prejudiced. But everybody that I got rid of was, I think, because they were black. I don't know yet, but this is what I've been thinking about the last few weeks. Just say that for me, sir. And once you say that, we're good. I don't want to have an Eagle segment, a Chip Kelly segment. If you can just say those words, yes, I got rid of him. Because he's black, and I think blacks don't train as hard. But I'm not racist. I'll take the whole statement. I don't think all blacks train as hard either. So, okay, I'll buy it. We just say it. That's all.
Oh, man.
But just stop lying. That's all. Just stop lying. Anyway, I'm in debate. Chip, thank you for putting an offensive alert. Or I missed it. My time.
Chip Kelly. Oh, goodness. To Eagles. Chip Kelly. And, folks, we have 12 games left in the NFL season, a season that's filled with at least 4 to 5 twists and turns. We know Green Bay, New England, however you want to flip it, are the best teams. After that, a drop-off, a lot of backup quarterbacks, Mike Tomlin being Mike Tomlin with some of his decision-making in that Baltimore game. Didn't get on that, but that's, I mean, geez, a 49-yard field goal in that stadium with Josh Scobie. I mean, really. So, I mean, it's the NFL. This is why you got to love it. Got to love it. Shout out to, you know, Cuddy 4-0 in our NFL fantasy league.
Yes, sir.
I scored 200 points. Ain't too much you could do about it. I couldn't even be mad.
Yeah, that was a good game, though, man. It was a good game.
I couldn't be mad. Even at 1-3, I still feel confident. At 1-3, log in. My season be played. Just need my guys to get healthy and, you know, just be on the field. So I ask for, be available. Be available. Sat mentioned it with, 2-2. It's a nice place to be, right in the middle, collecting them wins.
It's a week-to-week process.
It is.
Oh, I know what I was going to say about this. Wait, really quickly. If I pick you up as a running back, I worry for your health and your safety. I really do. I apologize in advance. I don't know what to do. I wish I could start all wide receivers. If we could get a petition, like maybe that could happen. Because every running back I pick up gets injured. Every single one. So I apologize in advance. Draconian fantasy rules make me start 2 running backs, and I don't even know what to do. I don't have 2 healthy running backs on my roster. So there you go.
I'm petitioning for another rule. If we could trade running backs within outside of our fantasy leagues, like one league, I have Gurley and Ivory.
So you can play Gurley a week.
No, I'm saying in one league I have Gurley and Ivory on my bench. I start Jamal Charles, Carlos Williams, and Forsett. So I have 5
That's impressive.
Legitimate
That's
starting
impressive.
Running backs in one in my Haynes league, by the way. So, but in our league, of course, my guys just can't. You know, Eddie Lacy. I'm starving for a run. I had to pick up Duke Johnson.
I would kill.
Well, you know what? For real, this is
I would kill for Eddie Lacy. No, you get no sympathy here.
This is why you get no sympathy. Forget killing for Eddie Lacy.
Eddie Lacy.
You had the number one pick. So you wear that. The good and bad. You wear that. You know, Peterson sitting there, you know what I mean? Killing.
All Charles.
Killing.
Maybe I'm bad.
But with all that said, I do get what you did, and it was a gutsy move, and I really felt great about Eddie Lacy. And it's not over.
No, it's not.
It's not over.
He got healthier, but I, just need you to be up 25 carries. One game, 25 carries.
That's all. And also,
it's
been, even when he's healthy, what's been messing up Eddie Lacy, Green Bay is so efficient. And they've been beating up on other teams so early that it's just like,
why play them? Yeah, fourth quarter, why play them? Yeah.
Why play them? Yep. We'll let Sparks run out here.
Yep.
You know, so it is.
Or the new dude, Green Bay, this is the thing. Green Bay is like, how they run their organization is just, like, they guys, in terms of player development, they develop players better than any organization in football. Because they got, looking at Ty Montgomery. This dude, nobody heard of him. Then they had the third running back who got some burn. I forgot his name, but has, you know, was in for Starks and Lacey.
Uh-huh.
So these are guys that stay with, they draft, they develop them. You never hear of them until they actually go out there and play it before. So
yeah.
They rarely sign free agents like Charles Woodson, who amazingly is still playing in the league, amazingly at year number 18 for the Ravens. That's crazy. And he had an interception, by the way. And guys, they'll sign a guy like that or Julius Peppers, who still is killing. And that's it. Like those, and they get those guys on the cheap. Like those are contracts that were very good contracts. So I'm just envious of just how they run their organizations.
Yeah, well ran team.
Completely envious in terms of how they run their organization as far as developing players. Like, we don't need to sign a Ndamukong Suh. We have this guy, that guy, without spending the money, and we'll just, you know, draft keep all our draft picks. Next coach,
yep.
Before we head out, the next coach to get fired. Who's the last prediction?
Next coach,
who's on the
hot
seat?
Fired?
Or possibly get fired. Who's on the hot seat?
Who did I have? Rob, you go first. I gotta think.
I have two. Pagano's gone, right? Like at the end of this year, he's gone.
Right.
It just depends on what happens during the season. The GM. I don't, that definitely, the way that thing happened the entire week was so bizarre. I think the GM literally hid Andrew Luck from the coach. Like, literally was like,
he was about to play.
Yeah. Pagano was like, he's playing. Like, there wasn't even a question or a thought. I don't care if he's not practicing. He's playing. And I think the GM literally just hit Andrew Luck from him. Because one of the questions at the press conference, I don't know if you saw this, was one of the questions reported goes, is Andrew Luck in the state? He literally asked the coach that. And Pagano was like, that's the weirdest question.
Yeah.
And they were like, we've never seen him. We haven't seen him practice at all this week or anything. He was like, he practiced. And they were like, when? He was like, he practiced. And then later the next day, it comes out, Andrew Luck held a secret workout for the coaches. So crazy town is going on in Indianapolis. Like, it's over. If he would have lost that game, I don't think they anticipated that Hasselbeck would be able to pull that game out.
Shout out to Hasselbeck, 40 years old, dusted off the clipboard.
Yeah, he did his thing, man.
I expected he
did his thing.
I mean, really, he did his thing.
Nobody.
Oh, I will
that.
Add. I do know who I have on the hot seat.
And then just really quick. Caldwell.
Oh, why?
Why?
Detroit's head coach. His team keeps losing. They keep losing the exact same way. And
I'm glad you bring up Detroit.
Not doing anything.
If I'm running Detroit, I have a player and just that kind of power, player, GM, whatever, I would trade both Calvin Johnson and Stafford. I would trade them. Like, I'm seriously, I'm dead serious. I would move both of them and get a boatload of picks right now.
Okay.
Because, like, he had the one great year. This is who he is. Year 7, this is, he's not going to get any better, I feel. Like, I don't see it. So and Calvin Johnson, trade him before he gets older and starts declining while he's still a top receiver. So I move both of them, but that's just my, you know, objective Detroit opinion.
No, that's interesting. The only team, our coach, I would add to it, I won't say this, he is hot, but I would add my own coach. And the reason I say it's more of a warm seat is because the first argument in his defense is look at his personnel. But I don't think the 49ers organization would be okay with just repeated blowouts and the team going nowhere. Like, this is, what, 2 weeks ago, and they were talking about our team. No one respects our coach. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah,
they
that's
put
so
up,
true.
They put up a graphic.
There's so many jokes. Oh,
yo, it's just offensive how many jokes they have. They put up a graphic that had nothing to do with the game. They had a graphic. I actually screenshot it. I can send it to y'all. How many odd jobs Tom had before his position. What did it have? It had nothing to do with anything.
He was literally a doormat. He was literally a doormat salesman.
He's like an extra in My Cousin Vinny. I saw someone, I was like football on the NFL tracker. It said, he looks like a manager. He looks like a manager at a Papa John's chain that's not doing too well. Like, bad enough with Papa John's. They went and described it as not even doing good. So,
first of all,
the first
mistake is, yo, if I'm a coach, I gotta be able to pronounce his name. Nobody can even pronounce his name.
Oh my god!
That's first of all, Tom Zula, Tom. The chief silent. So if you hire somebody, yo, I gotta be able to pronounce your name. If I can't pronounce your name, yo, you're not hired. Unless your name is Mike Krzyzewski.
He is just like he. Oh my gosh, he looks like really. A mop off in a like C-rated film.
Yeah.
Like, he's definitely been an extra somewhere. And he had the craziest jobs. It's not the finest list of jobs he had. Not only was it crazy, this is why it was crazy. I was talking to someone, they were talking about my coach, like, yo, he sounded like he's a mob. They kept saying that to me. I'm like, yeah, okay, he does it. But when I saw his job, I said, yo, he really was in the mob. Because only the mob would make up names for jobs that don't exist. You know what I mean? Like, ridiculous. Like, pizza crust maker. Like, stuff that made no sense. So, I definitely think if the 49ers continue to just get blown out, he'll be gone. Because it's like, why did we hire him? What was going on? Was he the next person that walked in the door when we were looking down? You know, looking at our board. He's like, hey, guys, you are the coach. Once again, the Disney headline. You know, like the movie Eddie. Did he win it on a sweepstakes? Like, did he had a winning ticket? I need to know how he became the coach. And the sad thing is I can't even blame him. Because the team is so bad, but with the team being as bad, it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
The team be as bad with a real coach, or could no coach coach this talentless team? I don't even know if we have talent. I don't, like I told you once again, this is why I'm going crazy. I don't know. You asked me this 2 weeks ago, Sorrell. You said, what do you think about your team? I told you back then, I don't know who we are. Just when I thought our defense was horrible, look what they did against Green Bay. I'm like, what? I'm so confused. We just need a real coach and a real quarterback. That's all I ask. And I don't think that's asking a lot. It's really not. I didn't say like an elite quarterback. I just said we just need a real quarterback. Someone that can throw. Someone that listening. Hey man, before I run this route, for real, are you gonna look for me? Are you gonna look my way? That's all. That's all I want to ask. Let me know how hard I need to run. Are we like mocking this right now? Is this for real? Is this all out? Am I all out running? I need to know. I don't even know why Reggie Bush stood it up last week. What was that about? What did you
do? I don't know.
You want to get some exercise? I don't know.
Somebody's fantasy team. Before I get to the coach, this report just came out. So about the Colts. So you had a report coming out yesterday, I believe, that Andrew Luck had a partial tear in his shoulder. Now you have a report with the Colts, of course, denying that report. No, his shoulder's fine. Good. So I believe that Chuck Pagano probably is responsible for this second report. So
yeah, somebody about to get fired. Rob, you might have called him, right?
Pagano might get fired before Thursday. The game is Thursday. Yeah. He might get fired tomorrow. Now, I'm not – I mean, yeah. He really might get fired tomorrow. I would not shock me. The other coach I have is Luffy. Jameis Winston, like, come on, man. Like, you – Luffy, you talk about not being able to coach offense. Like,
that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a good one.
Yeah. He could go in by Halloween, like, really. Matter of fact, when is there? I would like to know when is their bye week. I think they might have a bye week next week, after this week. He could go after week six, or after week five. I would not be surprised because he's like that team, they have players. Like, they have more talent than what they're not getting the most. I mean, you got Gerald McCoy, you got the receivers, you know, or they have a decent cornerback late. That team should not be that bad. That team should not be that bad. Yeah, Lovey, I'm sorry, man. You know, you just – you're a coordinator. You're a coordinator. You know,
yep.
You got that's all there is to it, you know. It's good money in you know, being a D.C. So, you know, Lovey could definitely be going – I can see after Pagano, who's going – we know is going – like, it's just a matter of when. Like, that Matt Hasselbeck, he should be buying Matt Hasselbeck dinner for the rest of the year. Because I think Matt Hasselbeck literally saved his job. Like, he really should be buying Hasselbeck dinner for the rest of this year. Because they would have lost to Jacksonville, and probably should have lost to Jacksonville. It was an absolute wrap. That's going to wrap it up for our program. As always, thanks to the fellas for joining us. And we will see you in a couple weeks, fellas. Thanks for joining the program.
All right.
See you later.
Take care.
We will see you next time on the latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. As always, you can catch us at www.blogtalkradio.com/Cyril Quinn. Go to itunes.apple.com for the rate and reviews of the show. 2-0 Houston, a couple of solo home runs, top of the fifth inning, a couple of outs. So we'll see if the Yankees can generate some offense. Have a great, great rest of the week. I'll see you in a couple of days. So long.